This is the Best in Wealth podcast, a show for successful family stewards who want real answers about real wealth and investing so they can feel secure about their family's future. At Best in Wealth, we think differently about wealth and investing, and we think you should too. Well, hello, everybody. My name is Scott Wellens. I am your host of the Best in Wealth podcast, a show dedicated to helping real people build real wealth so together we can take family stewardship to the next level. I am a certified financial planner and a wealth advisor, but more than that, I'm a husband and a father. I am a dad to three beautiful girls, and their ages are all over the map. Age 17, age 7, and age 5. But let me tell you, there was a time in my life when I really, really wanted a boy. That time is long gone now. I have learned to appreciate my girls, and I would not change any of them for anything. However, there was a point when I wanted a football player. I am a huge, huge Packer fan, and there are two big things going on this week. Number one, Packer season is starting, at least preseason anyway. And you know what? I'm a huge, huge Packer fan, but even as much, I'm an NFL fan. You know, when you're a father to children or even a grandpa or a grandma and your life is filled with a lot of different things, you need to discern what you're going to watch on TV. And through my years, I've learned to choose my poison. I love sports of all sorts, but I chose the NFL as my poison. I grew up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and it is just a time for me to have a good time with friends and family and watch football games. It's a certain type of organizational stress upon me when that happens. It's not always relaxing. However, I just love to spend the time with the family doing that. The second big thing that's going on this week is this is my second ever Best in Wealth show, and I am so excited that you've decided to download my show and listen to it, or have gone to my website, bestinwealth.com, to listen to the show. I'm just really, really appreciative that you join me today, because you coming in on the ground floor need to deal with all of my misgivings when it comes to podcasting for the very first time. So thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Now, this show, you know, will be broken up into three different sections. We're going to break down the walls of wealth in part one. We're going to break down the walls of investing in part two. And we're going to answer a question in part three. So here we go on to part one of the show where we break down the walls of wealth. And it's important to do that because when it comes to planning for the future, people have a bias towards not planning for the future. As a family steward, though, we know that family is the most important thing to us, that planning needs to take place because we really want to feel the security that our family is going to be taken care of in the future, that we will be able to provide for our kids, that we will be able to get them off to college and not come home with $100,000 worth of debt, that we can pay for our grandchildren's college, that we can leave a lasting legacy that means something and our family name carries on for generations to come. You know, I was looking on the internet today, or this week rather, and I just put in a Google search definition of wealth, and the first definition that came up was having great wealth is being rich or affluent. Because that's the way most people view the wealthy. The wealthy as the, you know, the rich of the rich that we see on TV. But here at Best in Wealth, we think differently about wealth, and wealth has so much more to do with numbers on a page. Are the numbers important? Absolutely. They provide us the time we need and the resources we need to accomplish everything that's important to us. And the things that are important to us are our cornerstones. So at Best in Wealth, we define wealth differently. We define wealth as aligning our cornerstones, because when our cornerstones are aligned, well, then you have everything, really. When everything is together aligned in your life, the things that are the most important to you, well, you have real wealth. And you cannot measure that on a page. So my definition, again, is aligning your cornerstones, having those together aligned. Some examples of cornerstones that some people have. Now, this isn't necessarily a list for everybody, but here's a list. Well, we're family stewards, so family is number one, our family cornerstone. But your cornerstones, you know, you choose the 4 or 5 or 6 or 9, just start with a few of them and start aligning them in the right place. So some examples of cornerstones: family, friends, career, spiritual life, financial freedom, health, your inner life, experiences, legacy, and even possessions. You may think of a couple of more. So we're going to break down the walls of these cornerstones to try and dig in a little bit deeper. And the first one I just want to bring up, and it's no surprise to all of us, hopefully, but I'm sure there's certainly people that are listening right now that really, really feel like family is the most important thing, just like all family stewards do. But family, to me, is my number one cornerstone. Because having loved ones around you and being able to see your family whenever you choose is a critical part of success for family stewards. So when your kids are at home, the idea is to spend more time with your family and be really, really purposeful about that. The second part about family in that cornerstone is, I don't know about your family, and my oldest daughter's 17, so she has not left home yet. However, when your kids start going off to college, and a lot of you listening, they already have, and they may have gotten a job in a different city, live 500 or 1,000 miles from you, gotten married, had kids. And part of aligning your cornerstone is having the resources to be able to see them whenever you want, the resources and the time to be able to do that. That's why numbers are important, to be able to have the wherewithal to see your family whenever you want. Very, very, very important. So the financial aspect about that, that's why finances are a cornerstone. But there's only a couple of things you can do with your money. 3 things, actually. You can spend it, you can save it, or you can give it away. But when you have that money to spend on travel, to be able to see your family whenever you want, extremely, extremely important. So family is a cornerstone that in my life is locked up in there. And I'm going to do everything I can to keep that aligned. And when it gets misaligned a little bit, I'm going to take ownership in what's going on. The reason why I love to talk about these wealth concepts is because we as a group really have a tendency not to plan for the future. But when you're motivated by something, and one motivation would be to see your family whenever you want, when you're motivated to that, then you take the steps to plan for a brighter future. Plan your cornerstone of your finances. I hope that was helpful to you. And if you have any questions at all about family stewardship or my definition of family steward, feel free and contact me at any time. Go to the website, bestinwealth.com, click on the contact page, and I will be more than happy to break it down a little further for you. Well, all right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the time when we take a few minutes of our week and break down the walls of investing. To me, this is extremely important because when I was on my wealth journey, which incidentally I'm still on, but when I started making a lot of money in my corporate sales job for 15 years, I struggled with trying to figure out what was the best way to invest my money and why I think it is such an integral part of this whole wealth concept is getting investing right. Because really, if you want to grow your number on a page, if you want to build that so that you can align your other cornerstones, well, then we need to get investing right. Because your money is going to grow in two different areas. You're either going to save more or you're going to invest wisely. And saving more is a huge part, but saving more requires a lot of heavy lifting. To be able to go from maybe saving 6% to 15% of your money is a big deal. But when you get investing right, it's a one-time decision. When you have that one-time decision, well, hey, your money is just working for you at that point, getting investing right. And I have a brochure at bestinwealth.com, or I will have a brochure up in the next few weeks that really lay the groundwork for the 10 components that we all need in order to pursue a better investing experience, to get investing right. And today, I just want to lightly touch on the first one. And the first one is this idea that we need to embrace market pricing, embrace the stock prices how they are. Let me back up a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about information, because the way we have information available right now is so much different than it was 50 years ago. Let's take buying a car, for example. The car buying experience for us, the individuals going to a car dealership to buy a car, has changed dramatically. In the past, we had such little information on how much a new car, or even used, was actually worth. We'd go to the dealership, we'd see the sticker price, the car salesman would try to get as much as possible for that car. And all we knew was that sticker price was probably a little bit too much. So if we could get some dollars off of that sticker price, we'd go off, we would buy the car, but we'd drive home, and on the drive home, you just have this tightening in your stomach because you know you got screwed. We all thought that. The car buying experience right now, if you really want to dig into it, is so much different. Because with the advent of the internet and these specific websites, we can get all the information available about any car that we want to buy. So we can go to a car dealership now, and we have the same information that car salesperson has. So we know exactly how much we want to pay for that vehicle, what a fair price is. And that's because the car buying experience has become efficient for us. It's efficient because we have all the information now. The car salesperson does not have an upper leg on us. The stock market is not any different. All the information about all of the companies are already reflected in the price. It's called the efficient market. Professor of Finance Eugene Fama from the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. He was just named a Nobel laureate in 2013. And I quote, "In an efficient market, prices fully reflect all available information." I know that's a mouthful and it sounds so simple, and that's because it is. That's because the stock market is an information processing machine where the prices reflect all available information. You can't get a leg up on somebody and research a specific company and feel like that stock price is underpriced or overpriced, because that stock price already reflects all the information that exists within the price already. Let me share an example with you real quick. In 2014, the average daily number of trades that happened in the stock market was 60 million trades a day. What that means is that there's so many participants, individual investors, mutual fund managers, hedge fund participants. There's literally millions of people poring over data about all the companies, the publicly traded companies in the stock market. And it reflects everybody's opinion. So if you feel like you as an individual, or you can actually hire a professional money manager to manage your money in a way where you're going to hire somebody to select certain stocks for you, you are going up against the collective knowledge of everybody else. This is a really tough concept to grasp, but when you do, it opens up the door to concentrate on the things that really matter when you're an investor to get a leg up. Let me give you an example. Fortune magazine on March 3rd, 1997, on its cover, it was a cover that listed America's most admired companies. And the number one company, the number one admired company, according to Fortune magazine in 1997, was Coca-Cola. So if you were a stock investor, if you were looking to pick some stocks to own, some companies to own, and you read that magazine, you'd probably think, well, Coca-Cola, there's a good bet for me. There's a company that I want in my portfolio. This is America's most admired company. So let's look at what happened the next 5 years. Because the next 5 years, stock prices overall did very well. On average, they were up over 50%. That's 10% per year on average. How did Coke do? Coke was down almost 18%. Coke was down over 3% per year when the overall market went up 10% per year. Well, how in the world could that happen? This was the most admired company. The reason it happened in 1997, when that article came out, Coca-Cola was the most admired company with all the information that was available by the professionals at that time. What the professionals didn't have was future events, future information. They did not have the knowledge of the future events were going to take place. Events such as squabbles with sister bottling companies, a food scare in Europe, and so on and so forth. That new information reflected a new price on that stock. So remember, if you can remember one thing, that the stock market is efficient. We're going to talk through this over and over again. It's a great concept to know. Stock markets are efficient. Embrace market pricing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today we want to answer a most commonly asked question by my clients. And these are very smart, successful people. My clients, my day job, I'm the principal of a company, Fortress Planning Group. And that's where I'm a wealth advisor. And that's what I do during the day when I'm not producing a podcast. And you would be surprised. Actually, you probably wouldn't, because some of you listening are in the same boat right now. You're smart, you're successful, but even thinking about the stock market and investing kind of makes you ill. Just like when my wife, God love her, when my wife says that she's going over to her friend's house to scrapbook, I think to myself, that is the last thing in the world I ever want to do. That's because we as individuals, we gravitate towards the things that we like to do. And most people don't like to pore over investment philosophies and investing in the stock market and so forth. So today, I want to answer a question that might be really, really basic to some people, but open the eyes to others. And it's a very simple question. What is a stock? People ask me, what is a stock? People ask me, what is a bond? I'm going to go over that with you. Owning ownership in a company. This is owner. You own a slice of the company. If you bought a share, which is a stock, one share of Coca-Cola, you are a owner of Coca-Cola. And how do you get paid for being an owner? You get paid one of two ways. You get paid when a dividend is issued. And a dividend just means that the company, Coca-Cola, the board of directors decided, hey, we got a lot of money in the savings account right now. Let's give some of the money back to the owners of the company. That's a dividend. The other way that an owner of a stock or an owner of a company makes money is by stock appreciation. You buy a company at $10 a share. A year later, it's $20 a share. So if you have one ownership share in the company and you actually sold that share of stock, you earned $10. So within a given year, if you own that stock for a year, you got the $10 for the stock appreciation, and maybe you got a dollar or two for dividends. That's owning a stock. Another important thing to understand, people talk about stocks. When they talk stocks, they talk equities. So if somebody says, what percentage of your portfolio is in equities? They mean stocks. They mean how much ownership do you have? And they're asking versus bonds. And what a bond is lending a company money. If I bought a Coca-Cola bond, that means that I am giving, let's say a bond was worth, one bond was worth $100, let's say $1,000. That's generally how it goes. That means that I'm loaning Coca-Cola $1,000. Now, Coke promises to pay me 3% a year for that $1,000. And let's say, for example, I loaned that to Coca-Cola for 5 years. That means that every year, and it may come in multiple payments, but Coca-Cola will pay me $30 for the use of its money every year. So year number one, I get $30. Year number two, I get $30. Year number three, I get $30. Year number four, I get $30. Year number five, I get the $30, plus I get my $1,000 back. That's a bond. People also call bonds fixed income. So how much of your portfolio is stocks and bonds? Others might say, how much of your portfolio is equities and how much is fixed income? Fixed income is a bond. A bond is a loan of money to a company. Equities is a stock, which is ownership in a company where you get paid dividends and stock appreciation if you sell that stock. I hope that this makes sense to you. And the last segment of this that I want to get through is the idea of a mutual fund. So sometimes I ask people, so what is your investment philosophy or what? How are you investing your money? And they say, oh, I own a mutual fund. And then I need to ask more questions because a mutual fund does not tell me anything rather than just says that instead of participation in the stock market by buying individual companies, they bought a mutual fund. Here's the definition of a mutual fund. A mutual fund is a basket full of companies. So if I bought a share in a specific mutual fund, just one share, and that mutual fund company invested in 100 different companies, that means that I owned a little tiny sliver of 100 companies. So a mutual fund has a mutual fund manager. That mutual fund manager might purchase 100 companies. I invest in the mutual fund. I own a small slice of all 100 of those companies. It's an easy way to diversify. Most investors use that type of vehicle to invest. If you have any questions about anything that you learned today, there were some concepts here that through other podcasts, we're going to make sure that we break down even further. This idea of embracing market pricing. This idea of aligning your cornerstones. If you have questions about any of this, contact me anytime at bestinwealth.com. Go to bestinwealth.com and I would be more than happy to answer any question that you might have because some of this stuff is difficult. Some of this stuff isn't easy. But as we go through it more and more each week, we will break down the walls of wealth and we will break down the walls of investing. And we together will take family stewardship to the next level. Thank you for joining me. I cannot wait to see you next week. Opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information purposes only and are not intended to add specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance mentioned is historical, and there are no guarantees of future performance. All indices noted are unmanaged and may not be invested in directly.